Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's Tough Talk with Tony Gambo. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambo.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and it's the 19th of February, folks. Here in Houston, the weather has cooled down a little bit. We are probably experiencing lows of 30s or high 30s at night and up to the mid-60s during the day. So no complaints from here. If you look on the news, you'll see a lot of bad weather in the Northeast, and I'm just happy and blessed to be down here in the Houston area. So we have a great show lined up today. We always have great shows here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more about that by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com and check out the list of shows that run weekly here on the network. You can also become a guest on the show by clicking on one of the tabs and registering to be a guest and select a date you would like to be a guest on the show. Now, make sure that your information matches up with the show so that they don't bounce that registration back to you. We're always looking for people to bring information and education to our listeners. So if that's something that you're looking to do, please register to be a guest on the show. You could also, if you've been thinking about hosting your own radio show, gaining the credibility and the reach and the visibility around the world, that's something else that Tough Talk could help you with as well. You can find all the buttons, tabs, and information needed on www.toughtalkradionetwork.com. We'd like to hear from you. You can call into the show, 347-989-1363. And as I mentioned, my name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio here this morning, as we are every Thursday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now, we've switched our directions a little bit in the new year of 2015, so we are going on, I believe it's 6 or 7 weeks now, of Christian Radio on Thursday mornings. It's been really good. I feel really blessed that I'm able to have this opportunity and this platform to reach people out there about Christianity and to allow them to know that if you want to talk about it, here's a place to do it. Okay, it's not something that has to be hushed. It's not something you have to worry about what you say. Okay, as long as you're following that book, you know, that live book that was left behind thousands of centuries ago or thousands of years ago. So today, as we do every week, we talk about that one word of gamble. And, you know, that's my background, 20 years in the casino industry. I speak off the word gamble. And every week we come up with a different word off the acronym, which stands for growth, accountability, marketing, belief, leverage, and enjoyment. And when I tell people that, they look at me and they go, oh, that's pretty good. But do they really understand the depth of that? Your growth, your accountability, the marketing of who you are, your belief system, how to leverage all that into enjoyment. Do they really get that? Sometimes I wonder. I speak to a lot of different groups of business owners, and we started speaking to Christian groups as well, because those six words can really cover a lot of area. And today, I want to talk about the word that I've been speaking about the whole month of February. It's called accountability, and it's something that's needed more and more every day, whether it's for your quiet time in the morning, actions during the day, for what it is that you're trying to get done. I know in the business world, they tell you to sit down and write down your plan. What do you want to do this year? Map out a 10-year plan. Start working backwards from it. Figure out what you have to do every day. Break down the time in your day. Well, you know, that's a great strategy to grow a business. But how about growing your faith? Is that a business? Well, for the time that you have to put into it, I would have to say that some people could say it's easier to run a business, but the rewards are not as great as if you continue to grow your faith. So think about that. What are you doing to set yourself a disciplined schedule to grow your faith? Are you spending quiet time in the morning? Do you sit and be thankful for the food that's on your plate before you start to eat? Do you stop and ask questions to God? Do you pray for things? Now, I know that we always pray for things we want, but how about things that we received? Do you give thanks for that? Do you stop and think about, is it about you, or is it about what you're trying to do in God's favor? Do you give him the blessings? Do you give him the credit? Do you take it yourself? Do you do the attaboy high five, this is all you? It's easy to do. I mean, hey, we are known to be human, and we make a lot of mistakes, and you're not going to stop making mistakes just because you spend some disciplined time with Christ. You're not going to, you know, just become a superhero overnight. What you can do, though, is become disciplined on working on it every day for the rest of your life, until eternal life. That's when the rewards will be seen most. Now, you will get some nuggets along the way, okay? But at the end of the term of life, what is it that you're going to be getting? Do you know? Have you planned? Have you thought about it? Does it hurt your head too much to go there? I've been really blessed. You know, I was invited to sit down with a group of men every Wednesday morning, early in the morning, from 6 to 7 a.m., just to do a little Bible study. And it's not your basic Bible study that I've been into. Of course, I've only been in that arena for 5 years. But one of the things I learned is it's a little bit different. We do things a little different, and we just have open conversation with men about the truth of their day. And we're comfortable enough for others to give us feedback that maybe we might not want to hear, but maybe we need to hear it. So yesterday I had a conversation, and I was helped so gratefully. I was blessed so much to have men speak back to me and tell me the truth. And, you know, the thing of it is one of the things we talked about was Psalms 3:7, and I got to see if I mark my book for it here this morning, because I'm probably not as prepared as I should be. But Psalms 3:7 says, "Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked." Now, when I first heard that, I thought, well, you know, there's some people I'd like to strike in the jaw and knock out their teeth. But I don't think that's what they were talking about. So couldn't figure out why that was read to me, and as I went through my morning there, I figured out that I think that the message was for me. And maybe at that point, I was the enemy. So here's my question. When you look at that, do you look at what it is that's bothering you from someone else, or do you recognize that the message or the situation could be causing you to get better in your journey? In your daily day, in what your belief is, what you're doing right or wrong? Is it in God's word? Is it following his? Now, I know I read the Bible every day, but sometimes, man, it gets confusing. Did I do this right? I mean, you can almost stress out from it, and I don't think, well, I know that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to read it, get quiet, and listen. Now, I agree, if we could get an email or a pop-up message to give us the answer, that would be awesome. But really, we wouldn't appreciate it, because much like the rest of our lives, we're entitled and spoiled, and we want everything right away. And when that happens, we don't appreciate it. So I think that's why it takes some time to get clear on what it is that we're supposed to do. It takes some time to get clear on allowing ourselves to open up our minds that it's not just about us. Even though we say we go out to try to help others. You know, I pray every day, you know, to allow me to help someone new today. And, you know, sometimes that someone new doesn't mean it's a new person I just met. Maybe it's a person that I don't even like. Maybe it's a person that annoys me. Maybe it's a person that I don't want to be bothered with. I don't know. But unless I get quiet and open up my mind to take in whatever comes to me from that, then I'm not going to be sure. And I might be working really hard at something that's not really beneficial. So for me, that word accountability is important this month, because I want to make sure that people understand that when you set out to do something, set out to do it and hold yourself accountable to it, and know that when you get to the parts that you don't want to do, you know, the part that you said, oh, I didn't think this was going to happen, know that's the important part. That's where the test is. Are you going to push through? Are you going to do better? Are you going to be better because of God and his helping hand to get through it? Are you going to lean into him and ask for his advice, his help, his forgiveness? And are you going to get it right the first time, the second time, 10th time? No. But that doesn't mean that you should stop trying to do it. So get up on your horse and really decide which direction you're going to ride. And when you make that decision, make sure you ride steady. Be disciplined. And, you know, if you don't do something for a period of time, you can't get the results. I mean, we can go all the way to the Super Bowl. This was a couple weeks ago, and, you know, they created odds for who was going to win the game. And they did that based on the whole year of games so they can get the results. So whatever it is you're trying to do, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I had a conversation with a gentleman this week that was a speaker at one of our events. And, you know, by having a conversation with him, it might, reminded me of something that I heard 8 years ago before I found Christ. And it had something to do with baseball to me, because at the time I was coaching Little League. I was sitting in a conference. I was bored out of my mind. And a pastor stood up and told a story. And we all know stories are great, right? I mean, Jesus was the original storyteller. But anyway, as I'm sitting there, a gentleman was telling a story about when he was a child, and he made a reference at the end. His father wanted him to do something, and he was scared. And his father said to him, "If you don't swing, you can't hit." Well, that perked me up in my chair. And it's funny now. You know, almost 10 years later, I understand that perkiness, why it happened and how God was preparing me and tapping me on the shoulder to get my attention. But at the time, I just thought, oh, this is great. I can wake up for a second. And I thought about it. You stand at the plate. They pitch you the ball. You stand there and you look at it go by. And after three strikes, you're out. You walk back to the dugout. You sit down. Life's not fair. Well, just imagine if you would have just stuck that bat out there one time. Maybe if you even swung. You didn't even have to swing. Just push the bat out. What could have happened? Could you got a base hit? Could you got a pop-up out? Could you have hit a home run? Well, a pop-up out would have been good. Would have been better than three strikes and you're out, because at least you made an attempt. A base hit could have been a great reward. A home run was probably be unexplainable. But you never would have known that had you not swung the bat. It's kind of like picking up your Bible in the morning. It's kind of like getting up 15 minutes early. No matter how hard it is, grab a hole in your Bible. Okay, and maybe you need to carry that cup of coffee with you. Okay, so you need a crutch. Okay, I think that's good. But what about just spending 15 minutes? Okay. Or how about 10 minutes reading the Bible and 5 minutes of being quiet? How about if you just start out and hold the Bible and be quiet and pray? What do you think could happen? I don't know. But if you don't swing, you can't hit. So it's your choice. When you're up and about, when you're doing your daily day, and you come home, you empty out your pockets, and you really sit down and look in the mirror and think about what happened that day, what was good, what was bad, I'm betting that you have more bad than goods. I'm also betting that you're celebrating the goods and forgetting the bads. So either way that you go with that, you know that it was because of God that you had the good. And it was because of what you didn't spend time with God that you couldn't get through the bad. It doesn't mean you're not going to have bad. It just means it'll be easier to get through it. These are choices that you have to make, just like being more accountable. That's a choice that you have to decide on. I can't decide it for you. Your spouse can't decide it. But think about this. What kind of example are you setting for your family, your children, your coworkers, your neighbors, and yourself? When it's all said and done, what's the judging going to be for you? Did you try? Or are you too good at what you did not to need anything outside of your own self? Well, these are only questions you could ask or answer. But I know one thing's for sure. If you start holding yourself accountable to ask these questions, things will start to change. And if you could shift your life just a little bit, don't you think it would be better? Okay, if I said to you every day, if you sit down and read for 3 hours a day in the Bible, you would look at me like I was out of my mind. Who has time to do that? But really, how much time does it take to get from the drive-through order box to the pickup window at Starbucks in the morning? Could it be 10 minutes? Well, hey, listen, you can put it on your phone. It's an app. While you're waiting there, instead of reading Facebook, you could read a verse out of the Bible. Just saying. There's not many things that you couldn't do to make it work. There are a lot of good excuses you can come up with not to allow it to work. Your choice. How are you going to be accountable this week to keep your Bible close to you? Maybe you just need to throw it in your briefcase. Carry it in your car. Because who knows when unnoticed time shows up. You know, now I've had conversations with people before about this, and they said that in their daily day, they can't really always have the opportunity to stop. They're not really good in the morning. So they go to work all day, and when they come home, you know, before they do something that they really enjoy, they pick up the Bible, they make that first. Now, I think that works. But for me, the challenge was to make it work first thing in the morning. There's some things I could do. I could cook up a hearty breakfast. I could read a book. I could sleep. I could watch TV. There's social media. I mean, we can go on and on and on. But what is it that you're trying to do in your world that's going to make you better? Better with God. Okay? Because we know if we get better with God, so many things happen. So many things take place. Now, it's your choice. Remember, accountability is the word that we're talking about for the month of February. And being accountable, trying to find out how you can better yourself, is really important. And what I learned yesterday in my lesson, in my Bible study, with some incredible guys, was that stop looking at the problem is who might have caused it. And understand the fact that you might be the problem. As I remember reading this to you in the beginning, I said to you, "Arise, O Lord, deliver me. O my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked." And I said, oh, I know what that message is. And someone explained to me some things differently than what I was thinking. Then I looked at that, and I read it, and I said, I think I'm the enemy. I think this message is for me. I need to get out of my own way and be better me, be more godlike. Now, that's not hard or easy to do. I think it's easier to recognize it when someone brings it up and give in to the truth of it than it is to act on it daily. So that's what I'm holding myself accountable to be better at who I am and how I am. Try to be the best me that God created me to be. Now, do I know what it is that he created me to be? I don't think I have a full scope on that, but I know he created me to be the best me I could be through him. And that's what I'm working with. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with one of my guests today is Terry Christian. And he talks about getting injured, being unable to walk for 18 months, requiring back surgery, then came to bladder cancer, and his doctors said his career was the worst. His cancer was the worst they've seen, and it would kill him within 5 years. Okay, well, it's funny because he's here today, but we're going to talk to him in a little bit about that. He wrote a book. You know, the book is called "What Did Jesus Say?" Okay, and I'm really interested in hearing how this all plays out. Okay, I know from my own personal experience what happened to me with my health and how God performed a miracle on me. Well, that's what led me to doing what I do today, right here on this show. So we're gonna take a commercial break. We're gonna come back, and we're gonna see if Terry's up on the board, and we'll get him up on the show. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, so welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. And, you know, I got to get that commercial up on the board because it needs to say Tough Talk Christian Radio. Anyway, we've changed our venue. We shifted our course this year, and we're so blessed to be able to bring on some incredible guests. And I know that Bradley Johnson was supposed to be our first guest on the show today, but, you know, his people called up and they had some things they had to do today, so some things came up. He'll be scheduled to come back on the show, but we're very blessed to have Terry Christian on the show. And as I mentioned before the commercial break, okay, here's a man that got injured, wasn't able to walk for a year and a half and required surgery, and then came to find out that he had bladder cancer, and doctor said it was the worst they'd seen, and it would kill him within 5 years, and Terry believed in God's healing power of prayer and fasting. 2 years later, his doctors pronounced him cancer-free and released him. He also tells life stories behind this. Did Jesus say, the day he began the final editing, his father had a heart attack and died. His mother died soon after, and it would be 10 years before his book was finally in print, and as he experienced these job-like difficulties. So, or Job-like difficulties, I apologize. But, you know, the thing is here, folks, you know, I'm very big on people telling their stories, writing it down for two reasons, well, maybe three. One, it empowers others to understand what you have gone through. Two, it totally empowers you to understand what you went through, because we have a tendency to forget that. And three, most important, I think God put us here to share the word, our words, of our journeys in our lives. So I want to welcome Terry Christian to the show. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, Terry, yeah, a great story. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things I want to ask you about. I want to find out a couple of things. As I mentioned, you know, I battled for a disabling disease for, jeez, I think we're hitting 40 years now, you know, and they said I wouldn't live past 5 years period of time some 40 years ago. And here I am today, right? But so I found out later in life the miracles that God performed for me. Now, so when I read your bio there, it was really fascinating to see, not even fascinating, how blessed I am that God keeps bringing more people in front of me through the radio to tell their stories, to share the miracles that they've experienced so people can understand the value of loving Christ. So before we get started, tell me where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
I'm calling in from San Diego. I first started out in Ohio. I went to San Diego when I was 21 and haven't really returned back to Ohio since then. So I'm speaking to you from the sunny side of America at this moment. And I understand you're in Houston, yes?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're in Houston. And I also came from the northeast from Philadelphia. And I lived 20 years in Las Vegas, the sunnier side. But I got to say, Houston's pretty sunny most of the year. So, but it's not where you're at. So, but anyway, reading your bio, you got injured. You weren't able to walk for 18 months. I mean, this is some stuff that people go through and no one ever knows about it. And only because they never tell anybody about it. And so my question is, do you think that when you give up yourself to Christ and allow him to take over in the healing, the story is too hard to keep quiet?
I think our example becomes something that the Holy Spirit makes it obvious to others. So that's really, I think, happens when we're really walking in Christ. We're not asking the Lord to do things for us. We're asking the Lord, what can we do for him? And when that is really the core of our thoughts, then we get the benefit of that thinking. And next thing you know, we become the example of what Jesus said, if we're Christians, that's where it begins. And the Holy Spirit can direct us much better based on the hopefulness in our mind because we know what Jesus said. So because that's what helped me when I was faced with difficulty and adversity, I must find out first, what did Jesus say? What would he do based on what he said? My whole life has been centered around the red letters. I have not always lived up to them, to the integrity of them, but as I have become more mature to what Jesus said, I found living up to it much easier than than if I avoided what he said. So when I was confronted with this injury, there was a series of things that happened just as I was getting ready to do the final editing of this book. I was I'd spent like 30 years in the pursuit of the one day being called to do this. When I was first called at 23, I stuttered so bad I couldn't say five words in a row. I dropped out of school. I stuttered real bad. I was a carpenter. I had a very traumatic event happen at 23. I call it a near-death experience. I found myself on the edge of the ocean wanting to die, if not thinking I was going to die. And I had this dream, and I saw the light of Christ, and I saw that in the future I would one day be serving the Lord. I had no idea how that would happen. I accepted that mission at that time at 23. And then quickly when I woke up, I was in pursuit of learning how to read, what to read, how to think, what to think. And by the grace of God, I was blessed to be around some very strong personal development motivational speakers. Went on to become a motivational speaker myself, did 2,500 corporate speeches around America and Canada, only to have the Lord call me from that and say, now it's time to do this book. So when I left that, I just turned 50 years old. I'm 63 now. So I started at 23 with the dream. I'm 63 now, and it's just happening. This is the most complete year where I'm healthy, I'm focused, I can talk to you on the radio, I can do a video. But the last 10 years, as I was producing this book, What Did Jesus Say?, I encountered Job-like experiences. And the Holy Spirit directed me into Job to understand what this was about, because at first I thought maybe it was something I did, you know, that's causing all of this great controversy in my life. Up until then, I don't want to say I was a charmed life, but it was very peaceful. I have an attitude of the Lord, so nothing bothered me. But then all of a sudden, when you get injured, and it takes another element. I lifted something so heavy that I created a 3 herniated back disc injury. And it took a while for it to become obvious that it was going to be surgery. It took a while to get surgery. In the middle of this, I got injured on a commercial piece of property that the lady I was married to at the time owned. Her fear, always fear, was somebody was going to get injured and sue her. We had just been married for 2 years. And so here we were in a conflict, and she was operating strictly on the fear that I was going to sue her. So next thing you know, I got a back injury and a divorce working at the same time, all in the name of Christianity. I'm just trying to do a book based on what Jesus said, okay? And so, you know, that's and if you didn't know that Jesus said your enemies come out of your own family and friends, you might start taking some of this personal. So next thing you know, I got the injured back, I got a divorce proceedings, I got stress in my life, and the Lord directs me to reread the book of Job. Okay, so I want to know why is this happening. And I quickly determined that we know something that Job didn't know. And that Job didn't know that God allowed him to be tested in his adversity. He allowed that because God counted on Job's righteousness. So I knew that I did not deserve what was going on, but I knew that I might be deserving of what was going on, depending on how I looked at it. And because I already understood Paul's comments of how to transform yourself by renewing your mind, I already knew that from the personal development motivational field. When I devoted my entire calling to what did Jesus say in the Gospels, then it allowed me to refresh my mind with the vocabulary of the Lord and how the healing came to place. So I quickly put that into play, and at the end of the 18 months later, I get the surgery, and next thing you know, I can walk for the first time. That was a great experience, but I didn't know the toll that not moving for 18 months could have on the body. Next thing you know, a month later, I'm passing blood. I go to the VA. They tell me I got the worst case of bladder cancer they ever saw. I mean, this is 2009. I'm only 58 at this time. They tell me I've got 3 to 5 years to live unless I let them take my bladder out of my body, put it on the outside of my body, which changes your life entirely. And I might have another 10 or 15 years to live. And I told the doctor that he sounded like he thought I was afraid of dying or something. And I told him I wasn't afraid of dying. And I quickly took responsibility for this cancer in my bladder. Because I added so much stress to my life, I let my divorce and I let the back injury get the best of me. I found out that fasting and prayer would help in the bladder, and I knew about fasting and prayer because I had already experienced that when I was 46 years old. And I put that into play, and 2 years later, I was cancer-free. But I looked at everything from a standpoint of I knew Satan could interfere with me. I knew he could interfere with my family and friends to sabotage what I was doing. I had already learned that from Jesus. But I knew from Job that Satan couldn't kill us. He could only get us to kill ourselves. He couldn't. He could only get us to do ourselves harm on top of the harm. But if whatever happened to us, we trusted God that it would do something for us, and we had the obedience Jesus speaks about, we would prevail even by our own example how the Holy Spirit would use it. And in my case, I was blessed to come out at the other side. Divorce was resolved, and I learned something I now teach. I learned it's impossible for a Christian marriage to be divorced. It can't fail. It can only fail at being Christian. And if either one of the people professing a Christian marriage do not want to do what Jesus said and do not want to love their wife and husband like Peter, James, and John and Paul said, then what's it really about? It's a Christian in name only. I never would have learned that had I not experienced this. Had I not did the back injury, the bladder cancer, a year after I was done with the bladder cancer, I had to get throat surgery to take the gland out of my throat. And then as a speaker and teacher, all of a sudden I couldn't talk for 18 months. And I just started being able to talk 6 months ago. So I feel very convicted in the positive. As your opening theme is accountability. So, Tony, if we're a Christian, where's our accountability lie first? It lies with the Lord. It lies with God.
Yeah.
So if we're starting our day, like you were saying, how do you start your day? I start my day in a prayerful way. Now, I did it before the injury, but I do it more understandably after the injury. I start my day in a positive way. I did it when I was a public speaker because I knew I talked by the grace of God. I do it now because I learned that's the Lord's instructions of us to start your day with a prayer every day. I learned so much.
Terry, the only thing, Terry, you know, I just want to play the other side of the coin for a second.
Go
here,
for it.
And I couldn't agree more with you if I was writing your words for you. Okay, because I really believe that life-threatening situations allow us to pay attention better. Okay, and I don't know whether it's fear that drives us to try anything, okay, or listen or be better at what we're trying to do, but I totally agree with you. But there's people out there that have trouble believing that. Okay, so, you know, because they have trouble giving up control, and I think that's our biggest thing to overcome as a human is trying to control. You know, you weren't afraid of dying, okay, but until you gave up control of what you were doing and let God lead you there, and then you came to another point in your life where, oh, he almost about slapped you upside the head and said, no, you're going to teach you another lesson over here. And then, so most people would give up because it wasn't going the way they wanted it from the get-go, and they were making sacrifices in their mind. What do you tell those people?
Well, first of all, we have to identify, Tony, and this is very important, are the people we're talking to Christians or not? Because I'm called into this body of Christ to help Christians. Because until someone says, I am a Christian, you can't help them with anything Jesus said. Because they have no relative common denominator. But whoever says I am a Christian, now we can open up the mind a little bit so that we can first determine what makes you think you are a Christian and what is a Christian and how does a Christian think and act and who said you were a Christian. So now all of a sudden, if somebody really wants to know what they think their Christianity is about, we shouldn't base it on the religiosities of today's time and denominations, but how about the simplicity of the four Gospels? That's what Jesus said. How about the simplicity of just 20 pages? And I have a big print Bible, so maybe it's more pages. But just 20 pages make up everything Peter, James, and John said, and they spent 3 years with the Lord. So when people decide to take on their Christianity in truth and not in theory, their emotions will start playing a diminished part, and they start looking to God for everything in their life that they can do for him, not just what can God do for them. So to me, if you're going to say you're a Christian, then we have to begin with the highest common denominator of the example of Christianity. This book that I have called What Did Jesus Say? There are over 500 scriptures spoken by Jesus, divided up by seven messages. And Tony, I did not say one word in the seven messages. Not one word in the Bible, in the book comes from me. Not one word is my opinion. So when you find out what Jesus said versus what these other ministers and pastors and preachers and evangelists say, when you yourself know, it changes your mind. And if you want to give up, if you want to quit, if you don't believe, if you want to be pessimist, if you want to be negative, then you're becoming lukewarm. And you should get into the back part of Revelation to find out what happens about lukewarm people. So if we don't think that our attitude, if our attitude hasn't changed in our conversion of repentance and acknowledging Jesus Christ and believing in that in our baptism, if we haven't at least rung the bells of instruction, how do we even know we're in the right room calling ourselves Christians? So to me, that's why it's important to know what Jesus said. I don't have much to say to those people, as I'm trying to say to you. I see how serious you are about it, but if we're not serious about what we're doing with God, how would we expect God to be serious with us?
Right. That's a great point. Now, time goes quick here, Terry, so I want to talk about the seven things.
Okay.
You list in the book the seven messages from the Master. Can we just, I mean, I know we don't have enough time to go through the whole thing, but what are, so,
okay.
First of
I'll
all, people need
quick.
To go to,
I'll go,
I, let me
I'll
just,
go real
let
quick.
Me just say
okay.
one thing, Terry. Okay. People need to go to whatdidjesussay.org and buy the book. That'll be the best way to find out what the seven things are, okay? But can you just touch on a couple of the maybe
I'll be happy
titles?
To. Yes. Very, very quickly, I'll be happy to. It's based on the theory that when the book opens up, you are now walking down the beach and you come across a group of believers waiting on Jesus to show up and teach them. They're already believers. They're just waiting on him. So while you're there waiting on him, Jesus shows up and he starts to teach and go for a walk down the beach. So the first message is called the Christ. So all the comments that Jesus made in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pertaining to his declaration he's in the Christ, is put together in dialogue with Scripture. Where does it come from in the Bible? But if you compose it properly, you're going for a walk with Jesus, and this is what he's saying. So he's going to clarify he's come down from heaven to teach as the Christ. Then the next part, the message is called the Father and Son. Everything he said in the four Gospels tells us about the Father and Son relationship. When Jesus was at Gethsemane, he didn't want to do this cross. He didn't want to be crucified. He asked God three times, could he get out of this? But ultimately, it was his obedience to his heavenly Father that caused him to do this, which is the same thing required out of us. So when you understand that Jesus is the Christ, and you listen to him closely about his heavenly Father relationship, and we too are supposed to have one like that, the next message is called the Word. And the Word is a very important part of our mind, because when we read the gospel, we read anything good. If we don't sandwich it between good thoughts that we know are true ourselves, then our great adversary comes and takes the Word out. If we're afraid and scared and worried about ourselves and calling ourselves Christian, our cares of the world take the Word out. So this is about the Word. But message four, there's like 30, 40 different things in there that Jesus spoke about: love, light, truth, forgiveness, fellowship, brotherhood, discipleship, marriage, children, divorce, adultery. These are all things that Jesus spoke about if you know how to find them in the four Gospels. So I have them all sandwiched into message four. Now, the next one is called the Kingdom of Heaven. Everything Jesus said, he talked a lot about the Kingdom of Heaven, but I have it in one message. All the positive things that he taught to people who followed him and believed him is in this book. And then message six goes to the end times. When you read what Jesus says about the end times, you look at the book of Revelation, you look at what the Christian body of Christ is declaring. It's building huge churches with marble while it's talking about the end time is coming at any moment. We need to be teaching by example about the end time. And the last message is called the Holy Spirit. And when we know that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide us and remind us what Jesus said, then we know that if we know what Jesus said in the Gospels, as his disciples did, the Holy Spirit will remind us. And then the whole walk down the beach ends on John 17. I put the entire prayer, John 17, the closing prayer. So now when somebody reads this book or hears it on audio or reads the e-book or the written book, every word that Jesus said in this book, Tony, is printed in red ink. It's the only book out there with red ink in it that's not the Bible. But this is all Scripture. Now, when you spend an hour and a half walking down the beach with Jesus, only hearing his words, it impacts how you think forevermore. And that's what the book is about. So at the website, they can sample the audios. They can read message four and get a good feel for it. But I actually believe what Jesus said. And I actually want to do what Jesus said and his disciples. So why wouldn't us? And why wouldn't you?
Right, right, and it's funny, Terry, because a lot of times people, we live in a fast market, we live in a fast world, but, I sort of took the look at it that, with social media, cell phones, tablets, computers, I just think that if we were smart, like what you're doing right now, God gave us a way to spread the word wider, faster, and safer.
I believe so, too, 100%.
Yeah.
I believe
yeah.
so, too. But watch this one now. There's only four Gospels, Tony. If we want to make it about the 66 books in the Bible, we lose a lot of good Christian teachings by getting people so engulfed in reading the whole Bible, they haven't even read the four Gospels entirely yet. I have asked, when I was injured and couldn't walk and had the cancer, there was about 5-6 years here where I really couldn't do anything. So I did online counseling. You would be amazed how few Christians will tell you they've ever sat down and read any one of the four Gospels in one setting without getting up. Or they've never taken the weekend just to read the four Gospels. And you can do that in the length of time it takes to watch a full-length movie. So it all depends on where our priorities are. And if we're really lukewarm, we're not going to get what Jesus said. And then if you find out Peter, James, and John, they've said so much in just 20 pages. How are we ever going to say we didn't take the time to do what his disciples told us to do, that Jesus told them to go do? So to me, my goal is to help every Christian in my calling is let us all return back to what they had in the first 100 years. They had the precious Gospels. They had the epistles. That when you talk about Jesus' words and what he said, I think it's time that we start doing what he said, because we're not going to be able to excuse away why we didn't. And I think that's the biggest problem facing the Christian attitude today, especially in America. Now, in other parts of the world, they're being killed because they're declaring Christianity. And we're over here. There's so much out there with lukewarm, agitated, irritated, upset Christians. That shouldn't be so. That shouldn't be so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, I could talk to you forever, Terry. We're going to have to get you back on the show. Some great stuff. I want to make sure that all my listeners out there know, if you go to whatdidjesussay.org, purchase the book. What I'm getting is the package, okay? It's a special. You get the book, you get an e-book, and you get an audio book. So there's no way that when you're done reading it that you can't share it, okay? So, and it's under $20. It's just ridiculous. It's the best investment you can make today to get yourself on the right path. One more question for you before we go. Foundations for Life. Can we touch on that for a second?
Yes, thank you very much for that. What I do every day in every way is I'm devoted to this concept called Christians Helping Christians. Through foundationsforlife.org, and there's a page link in this website as well. I talk about where I'm available to go into other Christian events and Christian environments and do a story, a talk I call Walking with the Master. And it's my testimony of what I do every day, and I encourage all of us every day. When you're walking with the Master, you're looking to the Lord for direction. You're not asking the Lord to help you with what you're doing. So when your day begins walking with the Master, it ends walking with the Master. You never stop walking with the Master. I'm only talking to you today because I never stopped, from the throat surgery to the bladder cancer to the back injury to the sadness of a divorce, or my mom died earlier, or my dad, or all that happened in 12-year period. But it's how I thought about it in the Lord. So to me, that's what I'm here to help Christians, because to me the saddest point would not be the person that didn't believe and didn't know about Jesus. Would be, to me, the saddest part was the one who thought they believed and understood Jesus but never took the time to read what he said, never took the time to do what he said to do. And therefore Jesus will say, I never knew you. And I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody who knew Jesus. I wouldn't want them to ever hear from Jesus, have him say, I never knew you. And that's part of the scripture Jesus speaks about. And I think you know what I mean by that.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And if anyone there wants to go read the story that we've been discussing, I have a page under Rev, R-E-V, RevChristian.com. And I liked what you were talking about there on accountability. I did a 2-minute audio tape called Conclusions in Christ. And I think each of us, if we're a Christian, we should sit down. Doesn't matter what our denominations are. We should sit down and make a conclusion in Christ. What does it mean for us? Not only that we're willing to die for what we believe in, but we're actually willing to live by what we believe in. And that's really going to be the measurement. I was not afraid to die because I was enjoying my life in Christ. I just didn't want to leave my daughter. I have a daughter who's 40 years old, and I just didn't want to leave her yet. I had more to offer her, but I was not afraid of dying. So I really wish that brothers just come to their own peace of mind. That you have a conclusion of what Jesus said, then you have his peace. And I thank you very much for allowing me to be here and share this time with you.
Pleasure's all mine, Terry. And, you know, you just mentioned something that you didn't want to leave. You had more to offer to your daughter. And look how that turned out, because not only did you have more to show your daughter the value of continuing on in that journey, but the people that you're helping, the ripple effect that takes place is just endless. So I'm blessed to have you on the show today, and I thank you for giving your time to our listeners, and I look forward to having you back on the show, because I have a feeling that there's another book coming.
Well, you know, to me, my whole goal is to focus on what did Jesus say, and the only one thing that gets my attention even stronger is what did his disciples say in Peter, James, and John. And I want to reduce the message to something that we can digest, swallow, internalize, and walk and live in, and get all this religion definitions out of the way, which do us more harm. So to me, the next statement is, what did his disciples say? Because it's not about us. It's about what did Jesus say. So I look forward to speaking to you maybe off the air, and we can say hello and catch up. I know we have common denominators that we don't have the opportunity to talk about right at this minute.
Very good. I will be reaching out to make that happen. So thank you once again, Terry Christian, for being a guest on our show today. Folks, we're going to go to a commercial break. Before we go, I want to make sure that everybody knows whatdidjesussay.org. Okay, buy the book, buy the bundle. Okay, if you buy the bundle, you can share. And once you share it, then you're doing God's work, okay? You're helping others that are Christians gain access to a better process. So we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, so we'll be right back.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live a Choice choose to make a difference. Live a Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood. Providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. A great show today. A gentleman by the name of Terry Christian, he's out on the West Coast. He wrote a book called What Did Jesus Say? You can find more about this. It's some great stuff, whatdidjesussay.org. There's a foundation that he's involved in, but he is out talking to Christians about being more than just a label of a Christian. Turn more towards the discipleship. Okay, so every week we come back on Thursdays, 9 a.m. Central to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And excuse me, sorry about that. I got this allergy thing taking place. And I just want to make sure that everyone makes sure to tune in to us. Today, we have three different shows on Tough Talk Radio Network. We have Creating Business Harmony at 10:30 Central Time, and we have Life's Issues at 1:30 Central Standard Time. Make sure to join into it. We look forward to seeing you every week. I want to make sure just to remind everyone to be more accountable for the time that they spend in the Word. Okay? Spend some time, commit to doing it first thing in the morning. Make a commitment. Hold yourself accountable to it. Gain access to a better you. When there's a better you involved, there's a better everything around you. I hope that you will call into the show. Let us know what you think. Email us. You can always call in 347-989-1363. You can email me personally at tony@tonygambone.com. Love to hear your feedback, good, bad, or otherwise. And if you're an author out there and you're a speaker out there or you've created an imagination that has to be told the story about who it is, where you are, how you experience the miracles of God, I want to hear from you. Make sure that this week you look at that verse, Psalms 3:7. Figure out what it means to you. Have a blessed week and join us next week here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
This has been another edition of Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com.